Welcome to Slay, the podcast where we dive into all aspects of female health, fitness, and life. I'm your host, Louise Hazel, and in today's episode, we're going to be exploring the importance of rest. In the hustle and bustle of modern life, the concept of rest can sometimes seem elusive, overshadowed by the constant demands of work, family, and other obligations. But what if I told you that embracing rest is not only essential, but also a transformative for our physical, mental, and emotional health? Now, rest isn't just about taking breaks. It can also be about cultivating a supportive community and connecting with other like-minded individuals. Today, we're going to meet a man who has created an event series that spans across Los Angeles and now overseas and highlights the importance of taking a rest day. Are you feeling burnt out, overwhelmed? Do you feel like you just need a day off? A day to be celebrated, a day to be loved, a day to be cooked for? Then listen up, because this episode is for you. Joining me today to discuss this topic is one of my favorite neighbors. It's founder of Black Excellence Brunch, Trail Thomas.
Hey, what's up?
Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my God, thank you for having me in this beautiful space. I'm excited to be here.
Bless you, what an honor. Now, Trail, we know each other because we've been lived in the same, you know, residence for a good few years now. But you've recently moved out, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I missed you, though.
I know, same. I've got to come. You've obviously, first time you bought your own place, condo?
Yes, I bought a condo. First time home buyer, learning on the fly, but super excited. And I'm a homeowner in Los Angeles.
Like, I know.
Who would have thought? Who would have known?
I mean, high five to that. It's not an easy achievement.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about, obviously, everything that you've been up to. And more importantly, Black Excellence Brunch, which you founded in 2018. For those who don't know or haven't, you know, heard of it before, give us a breakdown as to what the Black Excellence Brunch is all about and how it came to be in existence.
Sure. Black Excellence Brunch is my rendition of Sunday dinner. I'm from South Carolina. In South Carolina is a big tradition, the tradition of Sunday dinner, where you go to church, mm-hmm. and then after church, we were in church all the time. My mom was my Sunday school teacher. She was my choir director. She was my vacation Bible school teacher.
I was going to say, you definitely sang. I was definitely on choir.
Yes, I definitely was in all the things. But after church on Sunday, you would come home, and we would have Sunday dinner, which is this big feast. It's like this celebration. It was almost like having Thanksgiving dinner every Sunday. Wow. My mom would cook for everyone. It would be the neighbors and friends and church members. And it was just one of the first places I really got to see and feel the joy of being a Black person. Mm. There was so much love in the room. It was inspiring. It was uplifting. And it was all going down in my home every Sunday. And Black Excellence Brunch is my rendition of that. It's my version of Sunday dinner. It's my way of giving people that love that I felt in my mom's home growing up.
Mm. Now, I have to ask a couple of questions.
Sure.
One, what was on the menu in South Carolina?
Oh, my gosh.
Tell me. But also, don't go too deep because I'm feeling kind of hungry.
Everything. It was everything. My mom would start cooking the night before. Mm-hmm. The menu really varied. There were a few things that were staples, right? Like mac and cheese, mm-hmm. Some sort of rice. I loved when she did. She would do yellow rice. She would do white rice. Mm-hmm. Potato salad, fried chicken. Those were things that were staples. And then every now and again, there would be things like, oh, okay, that's new. That's different. That's nice. You know, she would introduce, like, you know, a version of a pot roast, or like she would do something different with the chicken. It'd be like smothered chicken, or you know, things like that. But it was just like your traditional soul food.
Mm-hmm. Now, would she allow other people to bring things, or was she like the matriarch? Was she like, no, I got the food? Because in my household, my Auntie Debbie, whenever there was a birthday, like whatever it was, whatever family function, she was like, I got the curry. And it's like anyone else could do whatever, but she's not going to let anyone mess up the curry. Like, was she really, like, you know, particular about the food, or did the community kind of contribute?
My mom cooked mostly everything. Mm-hmm. There would be people that brought things and that you knew that they were good at.
Yeah.
Like, my aunt made the most amazing banana pudding. And we would almost, like, call her, like, are you coming tomorrow?
What's it called? Banana pudding?
Banana pudding,
oh, banana pudding. I thought you said banana pudding.
No, like, banana pudding she would make. And, like, there were people that made different things that and they would bring by. But it wasn't, like, a potluck style. Like,
got
my mom,
you.
like, 80% of the menu my mom cooked.
Got you. She was keeping it tight.
Yeah, she was definitely keeping it tight. But she wasn't like the type that was like, you can't cook, you know, you. It was just more so people trusted her food and they really liked it.
Be real though, was anyone banned from cooking? Was anyone like, no, Shirley, we had that last time, it didn't work.
That's like a big, No, I wouldn't say. You know, honestly, I will say, my older sister, we would just be like, hey, you're doing the desserts, right? Like, that's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say that, but she wasn't banned. Nobody was really banned.
I love that. Yeah. Was there a memory from your Sunday dinners at home that really sticks with you? Was there like an interaction, a conversation that you had that just still sits with you and you carry with you till this day? Is there one particular memory?
Yeah, I think the memories of my mom and her sisters and like and her brothers and just talking about, they would tell the same stories. My mom, like, you know, she had 12 siblings. Mm. And so they would, you know, I have a very big family, and I just remember the laughter. Mm. Like they would laugh and they would tell, and you'd heard, you have heard the story over and over and over again, but it was always like the first time hearing it. And there was always so much joy involved in like listening. And then I think for me, I was always very curious and very inquisitive. Mm. So memories for me was when I would get a chance to talk to somebody that was older and like just question them. Mm. And they would give me all of this advice and like they would tell me these stories. And I just remember that because I thought like, wow. Like, this is so cool. Like, I'm learning so much. Mm-hmm. So I think just learning from older people and just the laughter, like, I can still hear it, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. So what does it mean to you to be able to bring that now to other people? And, like, I've got so many questions. Like, how do you curate the list? Like, first and foremost, what does it mean to be able to bring that and do that for other people now?
You know, honestly, it means so much to me. And I didn't even realize that I was doing it because a couple of things. Like, I haven't lived in South Carolina in like 15 years mm-hmm. at this point. And I honestly was just missing that feeling myself. And so in a way, I was trying to give myself mm-hmm. those feelings, mm-hmm. right? And we have so many shared experiences growing up, like mm-hmm. as Black people. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you've ever been on like social media and somebody like, will share something that they did. I'm like, wow, you did that. That was your experience too. I think I was watching Kev on stage the other day, and he was talking about how, like, at barbecues, like the kids were kind of like, you could get hot dogs, hamburgers, but you weren't like getting ribs on your plate as a kid. And that was like,
that was just for the adults.
Yeah, that was for the adults, and it was just, it's just so funny. So there's so many shared experiences, and. In doing this and trying to bring those feelings and memories and that love back into my life, I brought it to other people as well. But I will say that there was also a version, a part of it that was very intentional at the time that I, in 2017, 2018, when I really started doing it in the way that people see it now, there was so much happening in the world and it was so heavy for Black people.
What was going on?
It felt like every time I looked at the news or was on social media, there was another instance of a Black person being murdered.
Yep.
And I didn't know what to do. Mm. I was feeling very heavy around it. And so this was a way and my way of to bring joy to people, to bring us to a space where we're safe, where we're celebrated, where we're loved, where we're appreciated. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, a part of what I was trying to do. In combination with trying to also heal myself, you know, in the process.
Now, I was reading this article in the Harvard Business Review.
Yeah.
And it's by a number of women, female contributors. It says, give Black employees time to rest and recover. And it mentions some of the things that you were talking about. This was written in 2021. And one of the standout quotes in it says, Black employees are exhausted. And it basically says that they're depleted because of two deadly and intertwined pandemics, COVID-19, because that was obviously what we were experiencing, and structural and systemic racism. They said that Black people are more likely to lose jobs, be hospitalized, obviously from the pandemic that was going on at the time. But then they also drew upon the brutalization that was coming from policing. you know, which is something that can even, you know, in 2020 and 2021, when we were out protesting, you know, in the name of George Floyd, those events are still happening today, aren't they?
It's sad to say, yes. And rest is so important. And we don't always give ourselves permission to rest because we have to be like ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. We have to be like better than the best. We mm-hmm. have to, you know, so we don't really give ourselves that kind of grace to take that time. And also some of it is just in our DNA. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm. Like it is the trauma of like not having the chance to do any of those things that are just ingrained in us on a cellular level.
Yeah.
That we have to really be conscious of and like work through. Mm-hmm. So like for me, I found that I didn't feel like I was always doing something. I had to be doing something. I had to be perfect mm-hmm. at every single thing. And that is exhausting.
Mm. Where do you think that perfectionism comes from? And also, have you acknowledged or have you noticed anything from like that you feel like you've inherited work ethic wise, focus wise, drive wise, from that has come from kind of like generational trauma?
Yeah.
That's come forward into this life, into present day for you. And if so, what is that?
My grandmother was a sharecropper. Mm-hmm. My mother was a seamstress and my father was a brick mason. Mm-hmm. So all I saw like was Black people working and work like sun up to sundown, you know, kind of working. And so that was all that I saw every single day, mm-hmm. like going, you know, wait from sun up to sundown. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I grew up in a very small town called Cassatt, South Carolina, C-A-S-S-A-T-T, for
shout
anybody
out.
That wants to look and see if they can find it on the map. But and I often grew up the only Black person in anything that I was doing.
Right.
Like, my town was really small. It was like, very few and far in between, like, Black people, especially Black people that were, like, excelling, mm-hmm. right? So I was the only Black person in Beta Club. I was the only Black person in the Honor Society. I was the only Black person. And so, and people made it very known that they did, that I also, not only was I the only person, but I really wasn't welcomed in those spaces.
Okay.
Right?
What were you facing, like, on a daily basis? What
I
were the
remember
struggles?
My guidance counselor. Mm-hmm. I was so excited because I learned about, like, you know, you're supposed to apply to college and it's time to apply to college. And a friend of mine or something I saw on TV, mm-hmm. I think it was, actually. And I went to him and I was like, okay, hey, I'm super excited. I want to apply to this school and this school and this school. And he was like, you know, why don't you just get a job and help your parents? Like, why don't you just get a job at McDonald's or something to help your parents?
Wow.
And that, like, I didn't even know how to receive that. Like, nothing wrong with working at McDonald's. I worked at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But I didn't see that as, like, my, like, this is what I'm going to be doing. Mm. And that was kind of an undertone of a lot of conversations and a lot of, like, guidance that I would be getting from people that weren't, that didn't look like me.
Did you know what was happening at the time, or were you looking back, was it in hindsight? Because I feel like, you know, as a young woman growing up, I was not aware of the racism that I was facing at such a young age. I was only aware of the fact that I wasn't listening to it.
Right.
And it didn't apply to me. And those limitations that people were placing on me were not my destiny. I'm like, no, that's not my trajectory. That's not where I'm going.
Yeah.
But I didn't necessarily understand why.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was racism. Mm. I remember like being very upset about it, but I thought it was because I wasn't good enough.
Right.
So I recognized it. It came through as like something for me that I was insecure about, as opposed to like, oh wow, like, you're really being really racist, or like that's very classist, or whatever, you know, that it really was. But I just thought like, oh, I'm not good enough. Mm. And you know, and when we talk about working and like, and not being able to rest, it's like, oh, and when you feel like you're not good enough, then you're like, I gotta really throw it in overdrive.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so that's how I was receiving that stuff, like as an adult. And I look back, I'm like, no, that was definitely racism. Mm-hmm. But then I didn't realize it.
Mm. Is that, do you feel like you share that with a lot of the guests that, you know, come to the brunches? Is that something that resonates with them as well? And more importantly, how do you curate the guests? Is it per event? What's the deal?
Yeah, I feel like I do meet a lot of people that have had similar experiences. A lot of the guests that come are, you know, excellent. They're doing incredible things in their respective fields and places. And some of that has come from, like, you know, that being insecure, not feeling like they were good enough, or being told that they weren't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as, like, how I curate the guest list, I'm very intentional about that. I like to get people in the room that are excelling, that are the example of excellence, that, like, that show up in the world in a way that makes you, like, just step back and be like, you know, I'm really proud of you. I really love what you're doing. And then you just admire them. And then I'm intentional about, like, bringing a mix of people together. Like, I don't want all people from this industry or all people from that background. I'm very intentional about how I can bring people together that might not know each other or might not have connected before or might not get a chance to be in the same room or sit at the same table.
Yes.
So those things play a factor for me. And then I have a lot of themes, right? Like, within Black Excellence Brunch, as we've grown, like, I'll go into themes. So I'll do, like, I've done, like, Mother's Day themes.
Yeah, and
I've
talk about those receipts, because you've put on some wicked events recently.
Oh, thank you.
The Color Purple.
Yeah.
Let's go through them. Come on, we're talking about Black Excellence. Talk to me about the Color Purple event. Because was it a screening beforehand and then
dinner? We did a screening at the Academy, which was great, like, walking in there and, like, seeing the big Oscar, and it was really beautiful. But I was intentional about that too, because I wanted people to see, like, if you can envision it, then it can materialize in your real life.
100%, right? Absolutely.
And that has been my experience. So I wanted people to be able to walk down the hall and see and touch and feel, you know, and know that they're worthy to be in a space like that, right? So we screened it first, and then we celebrated at the Black Excellence Brunch, and we brought the cast, the leading ladies, as well as the director. So we had Taraji and Fantasia and Danielle, and then Blitz, who is an incredible director behind the film.
Brilliant.
So, and we just celebrated. It was like Essence. If anybody gets a chance, Essence did an incredible article just talking about, like, bringing Sunday dinner to Hollywood. And I thought it was so beautifully written by Dominique. Shout out to Dominique. But we just had a beautiful time. Like, it was celebratory. But I tell everybody, Black Excellence Brunch is a sacred space. And you won't understand that until you're actually physically in the room. But I'm telling you, you leave changed. And that's often my prayer and my intention when I go into it. I'm just like, I want to re-energize people. I want to, like, encourage them. I want to inspire them. I want them to leave that space feeling more whole. And that happens a lot.
One of the things you said in Forbes was you don't want people to have to lift a finger on that day. And what does that mean to you? Like, I feel like you've almost stepped into your mother's shoes in that sense. Like, this is now your living room.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I read it, and you were like, I'll go around and, you know, pick up the knives and forks if I have to. Like, what does that mean to you to, like, be like, no, you put your feet up. Today is about celebrating you and thanking those people in our industry, in various industries, for the joy that they bring to the big screen, to the boardroom. Like, what does that give you inside, that feeling?
You know, it really brings me so much joy. I'm a Virgo. I don't know if people follow, like, the signs, but, like, we're very much a sign of service, right? Like, Mother Teresa, like, the type of the signs. But I embody that in a way that it brings me so much joy to bring joy to other people. And also, I think about my grandmother. I think about my mother. I think about my father. I think about the Black people in my lives that didn't get that rest, that didn't get that love, that didn't often feel celebrated. I can't remember the times, even I think back as a kid, and I can't even remember the times I saw people thank my mom for the things that she was doing. I can't remember a lot of that happening. And I was watching her, you know, go to work and then, you know, provide for us and then, you know, go to church and pour into that and then volunteer. And, like, I was watching my mother do all of these things. And I can't remember, like, seeing her like really being able to sit down and be like, I don't remember a lot of those times. And so I think about like, how can I make sure that people who are likely going through their lives the same kind of way, having to do that, how can I make sure that they get that moment?
And let's talk about how structurally and operationally you achieve that. Because a lot of the time you partner with big brands. And I was reading that, you know, these are brands that the Black community absolutely loves. And we pour dollars and, you know, billions and millions of dollars into these brands every day. And as a result, you've managed to get some of the biggest brands, you know, corporate brands, to help back and fund and you know, pay for these brunches so that they can exist. Now, talk to me about that. Was that a hard thing for you to do? Is it now just literally like, okay, who's up next? You know what I mean? Are people banging down the door now? Because I imagine having started it in 2017, we're now in 2024. Like, talk to me about that process.
You know, when I first started this, I paid for it. I funded it myself. The first one, I totally funded it myself. I emptied almost my savings, and I was just like, I'm going to do this. And the next one literally was supported and sponsored by Netflix, which was huge. But I set the intention. I think intention setting, and I'll probably say this 5 more times, but intention setting is really important. And I set the intention that I wanted to do this for people, and I didn't want them to have to worry about having to pay for anything. I didn't want them to have to worry about any of that. So I always, in my mind, there was never an option to do this without it being supported in a major way by, like, brands. And I thought about brands because, you know, you mentioned a little before that we... A lot of these brands, think about a Nike, who has been an incredible supporter and sponsor of Black Excellence. Nike wouldn't exist in the way that people know it had it not been for the Black community.
Yeah, absolutely.
So why wouldn't you, as Nike, as you know, X brand, why wouldn't you want to share and space with and celebrate and love on these people who make it so the lights come on in the buildings that you work in, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean? So to me, I thought, like, I'm doing the brands a favor. You know, I'm giving you an opportunity to, like, show love to people. I've created the space for you to, like, give back.
I love it. Yeah. I absolutely love it, Trell. Like, I just think that, you know, being able to bridge that gap, and also in a way that people want it. I feel like nowadays, a lot of the time, brands are always, you know, doing activations. Like, we're going to activate this space. But somehow it just misses the mark. And there's a lack of connection because they're kind of activating from what they're meeting people. They want people to meet them where they're at. We want to activate this space and we want to show off this shoe or we want to show off this movie, as opposed to, no, here's the budget. You determine how your community need this to be received. Here's the budget so that you can meet them where they're at. And that level of ownership that you've created and must be so empowering, is it not? Like, the fact that you kind of get to decide, like, how do you decide what goes in, the vendors and things like that?
Yeah. Like, when I tell you, it is very empowering. It's very empowering. It's very exciting. And it gives me, like, hope, right? That, like, okay, you see the importance of this community, so much so that you're, like, willing to literally put your money where your mouth is, right? And I'm even, you know, the people that I hire, the vendors, I hire Black-owned. I make sure to do that because I want to pour back into the community. And I want to show, like, at every level, not just the attendees, like Nike or whoever, when you're supporting this, you're not just supporting the people that are sitting and eating the food, but you're supporting the people who are making the food, who are, you know, doing the audio and the visuals, who are, like, putting in the lighting. You know what I mean? You're supporting all of these people. And I feel like that's important. And I wanted to do everything that I could to be not only intentional, but impactful. I want these brunches to be impactful from start to finish.
Trell, with regards to the Black Excellence Brunch, has there been one memory, like one moment, one conversation that you've had that has just been transforming to you?
You know, something that has started happening recently is people have been like taking the time to pour back into me. Mm. Like, the event for me is all about, like, and I get so much joy out of, like, giving to other people. But there have been, like, some moments, like, this past one, the one, the Color Purple one that we were talking about earlier, where Danielle Brooks really, she's from South Carolina as well, and she had mentioned to me when she first came in, she was like, you know, I'm so happy to meet you. You know, you're from South Carolina. I'm so proud of what you're doing. But then she took the time on stage. I always ask people, what are you most proud of? Like, I'll ask that as like a ending question, because I want to know, like, besides the accolades, and what are they proud of in their lives? And I've gotten some incredible answers, and her answer was like, I'm proud of you. And she went into this whole reason why, and I was like,
Done.
I didn't have, I was like, oh my gosh. And she did that, and then Kelly Rowland also did that. And then within the same conversation with Danielle Brooks, we were talking about, like, Hollywood. And, you know, like, Hollywood can be very, you know, high-low, like, weird sometimes. And Taraji was just talking about, like, Hollywood. She's been here for a long time. She was just talking about the ins and outs and the ups and downs of Hollywood. And then she was just talking about how Hollywood is often a place that people come to take. Not many people come to Hollywood to give. And she was just acknowledging. She was like, thank you for coming to Hollywood to give. And I just, that is a top tier compliment for me, because Taraji didn't know, but every place that I go in, I'm like, how can I make this place better? How can I leave it better than I found it? That's always been my motto. And so I never go to a table like, ooh, what can I eat off this table? What can I take from this table? But I'm always like, I'm not going to pull up to your table unless I got something to bring to it. And I was just, that sticks with me to this day. And I think for the rest of my life, it'll stick with me, because I felt seen.
Yes.
You know?
It's affirming, isn't it?
Yeah, I felt like, you see, you really see me, you know?
Now, the interesting thing, you say, like, you know, people are pouring back. But do you think that's a, you know, a lot of what you do is in service of Black women and women? You know what I mean? Whenever I met Trell, the first time I met you, I was like,
nervous.
This guy gets it. Do you know what I mean?
Gosh.
There's not a toxic masculine, like, bone in your body. Like, yes, there's that grind. Yes, there's that hustle. But there's this really beautiful balance that you strike when you interact with people. But interesting, I think, do you think that there's an element when, you know, you're giving back to a community, and obviously a community of women, where they're almost like sometimes reluctant to take it, and they then point the thing back at you. They're like, no, thank you for giving. And I feel like sometimes we as Black women are like, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to fully let go and just be receiving of, you know, being able to have someone cook for us. You know what I mean? It sometimes feels a little bit too good to be true, or a little bit fleeting. I feel like sometimes we can't fully switch off and enjoy that moment. Is that something you see at the brunch, or do people just let go completely and are like, oh my God, kick the shoes off. Like, let me fill up my purse. Let me get a few more of these. You know what I mean?
Great. I just got a vision. You know, I find that the space is such a safe space that I find a lot more that people are like, they're willing. They don't have their guards up.
Good.
So yeah, I find that that's a space where people feel, you know, relaxed, and they feel like they can show up authentically, and they feel safe in that space. And when it comes to women, and particularly Black women, I'm so intentional about how I treat and show up for women, because Black women show up for everybody all the time and over and over and over again. And, you know, the compliment is often, oh, you're so strong.
Yes.
You know, and like, why do Black women have to just be strong?
Yeah.
Like, why can't Black women be graceful and soft and all of these other things they embody? Because to show up the way that Black women show up, and the strength that you see, has to be backed by love, though.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It has to be backed by compassion. It has to be backed by these soft things. Because why would you even care enough to do it if you didn't have those qualities, you know? And so for me, I seek out and want to nurture those qualities as well.
Talking about nurturing, you've got an exciting project in the works with Tina Knowles, Miss Tina.
Yeah.
And Miss it's Tina. Actually pushing black men to the forefront. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so in 2022, yes, Profile of the Black Man is a four-part docuseries that is on Discovery Plus, and it profiles black men, and it follows like the four stereotypes of black men, and then it shows the black men as the adverse of those stereotypes. So the one stereotype is like black men are dangerous, but it shows like all these compassionate and loving examples of black men. And it also digs into like the history of that stereotype, debunks the stereotype, and then gives you an example of like black men who are defying that stereotype. And I'm so proud of the project because it was birthed from watching. I was searching on TV. I had just watched this very traumatic documentary about a black man, and I wanted to find something that was like a palate cleanser. I wanted to find something that like celebrated and loved on us, and I couldn't find it. And mentors have always told me, like, if you don't see it, then it's your responsibility to create it. And so that is what Profile the Black Man is. Miss Tina really was such a big part of like bringing that to life, from encouraging me to like, she was one of the mentors that was like, hey, if you don't see it, create it. But also saying, you know what, like, I'm going to show up. I got these incredible ideas, and really fighting for me and she and so many people, like, behind the scenes and in the forefront. So, yeah, and the producers and the director, it was just this convergence of all of these people pouring love into a project that really has the ability to heal and impact.
Chell, you are busy. Founder of Black Excellence Brunch. Exec producer on that?
Yeah, executive producer.
And also co-founder of My PR is Black. With
Yvette Nicole,
Yvette Nicole Schur. You are busy. Like, what do you do for rest? When do you find time?
Yes. Right. I was telling you before the camera started rolling that today was one of those days where I really had to like be like, oh, I'm a little bit tired today. And being an entrepreneur is different, right? Because you like literally, you know, you have to create all your opportunities. So that can be a lot. But for me, for rest, I do things that I love that allow me to like shut all the things off, right? So I love baths. And I didn't even know, but
I love a bubble bath too.
So, I mean, and I'd make it an occasion.
Oh my gosh.
I'll light the incense. I turn the lights off. I put candles up. I have like the right kind of music. I have a bath bomb. Like I really make it a thing.
That was the thing that annoys me about where we live. There's no bath.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Carry on. What that, music are you playing?
A lot of times it's Lauryn Hill.
Oh,
I love Lauryn Hill.
The Miseducation.
The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
All the way through.
Her Unplugged album lives rent-free in my head. I'll play like a lot of 90s stuff. I love 90s R&B. So, you know, you got Aaliyah, you got D'Angelo, you got, you know, all of those kind of like sounds. And sometimes I'll use it to play like a new album or because I'm sitting and I have the ability to just listen to it. So
what are you playing? What new album?
You know I'm playing Cowboy Carter.
<I knew. laughs>
You know that.
Oh, that's so funny.
Beyonce has this All In Out Western era and I'm here for it. The baths. Another thing that I really love is hikes. I have in my phone like a note full of like different hikes in LA. If you want it, I'll give it to you.
Please share so that I can share with the Slay community as well.
It's so good. I've been to all of them. They're tried and true. So I go on like hikes.
Will you let me take you on one?
Yes.
Absolutely. Have you been outside of LA for a hike? Like outside of running all that stuff?
I'm
talking real mountains.
No, not real mountains, no.
Okay, will you let me take you on one?
Yes, please.
Okay,
I'll hold you to it. And I also like, I am a type of person where I I love, if I weren't doing any of the things, like in another, maybe in a couple lives, I was like a stylist or something like that. I love style. I'm not necessarily fashion, because I'm not into like all of the name brands, but I love style. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I put together like outfits for my friends, my family members, like I love doing it. Sometimes I'll just go to the store and like I'll put together different outfits and I'll leave.
I love it. I love it. That honestly to me is like a really therapeutic Sunday. Like this week I took Eric, we went to the Grove and I was like, we got a wedding coming up. And I'm like, it's in 2 weeks away. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to shop the week before. Let me make sure that we've done this well in advance and that he gets that time so that we don't have to stress about the wedding. Mm-hmm. But next time I know, I'll just call you.
Yeah, I'm there.
Oh, I love that. Now, Chell, you know, your background is in communications and PR. You were an assistant to the communications director on the Obama campaign. Shut the front door, Chell. Yeah. We're not leaving this, lock the door until we've spoken about this. How was that?
Like, oh,
what
God.
A time to be alive.
Life changing. I was fresh out of college. I didn't know what I was doing. And that was the beautiful thing about the Obama campaign in 2008, mm-hmm. right? It was all of these young people that just were like motivated by passion.
Mm.
And that was the energy of it. And, you know, I think that campaign was so successful because they trusted young voices and they trusted like people like me who were figuring it out. But it was life changing. Mm. I am a little bit of the backstory behind like even why how I ended up there is I'm in a fraternity, Cap Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, and we were like stepping. I was a step master, and so he was coming to do like a stump speech in South Carolina. And we were stepping. We were like the pre-act or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we were stepping. And then they said, you know, if you guys want to stay, you can stay. And then you can meet them afterward. And I drove. So I was like, hey, guys, we're staying.
Yeah.
So we stayed, listened to him speak, captivating speech. Met him. It was like having a conversation with your uncle, you know, your favorite uncle. Mm. And I just was like, I got to do anything that I can to make sure that this black, amazing man becomes our next president. Mm-hmm. And that was my energy. And, you know, that led me to actually manifesting a opportunity on the campaign, which changed my life.
Wow.
It was the first, it not only because he became the first black president and because the campaign was so historic, but because it was the first risk that I had taken, a big risk. Mm-hmm. I had just gotten a job at NBC, which is, I was working at NBC headquarters in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I was interning. I interned back when interns weren't getting paid to intern. Right,
got you.
So I was interning, and I finally gotten the job. Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah, I crossed the finish line, and then I got this opportunity, and I was at a crossroad.
Yep.
And I decided to tell my supervisor, hey, I have this opportunity. When everybody was like, Trell, that's so crazy. It's like, you know, career suicide. And I did it. And I followed my intuition. And she told me that if I wanted to come back, I could have my job back. And so I took this big leap. And I went and it was the first of many that I would take after that. But I think had I not taken that one, then I don't know that I'd even be sitting across from you today talking about like with you having any interest in talking about my life.
I've got absolute goosebumps. But it just reminds me of, it's like they say a bird, you know, that jumps doesn't have faith in the branch that it's standing on. It has faith in its wings.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. So tell us something about Barack that we don't know without committing treason.
He is hilarious. Well, maybe you know that, but he's so funny.
I mean, witty as hell.
Yes, he's so funny. And, like, you know, you see this stuff. Sometimes people might see speeches or see conversation, and they're like, oh, that's for cameras. But he's really like a funny, fun person.
Yeah.
And he's that cool. Like, really that cool.
Do you know who I'd like to see do a stand-up? Barack and Jay-Z. Because I feel like Jay has that same kind of energy.
That same kind of like wittiness.
And also appreciates the wittiness when it comes out of you as well. Yeah. Those two in like collab with one another.
You might have come up with something there.
Exactly. Let's make that happen.
Okay.
Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, Kevin Hart, Jay and Barack. Let's go.
Done.
Superstars. I love it. Trell, we're going to finish now with a quick game.
Okay.
In fact, here's a question for you before we wrap up, because this is something I want to know. Black Excellence Brunch, 10 years from now, what does it look like?
Such a... it looks like people... I get so many people that send me messages about, like, oh, I want to be there. And they might be, like, in Alabama or someplace where mm-hmm. Black Excellence Brunch hasn't necessarily been mm-hmm. or that we have, like, plans mm-hmm. to, like, necessarily go to. So 10 years from now, I see, like, programming, like, whether it be through documentary, docuseries, within those, like... where people have access to Black Excellence Brunch that might not be able to attend in person. Mm-hmm. Some sort of like digital long form or short form content where people can have access to it. I see that being like a very successful thing.
Fuego. I love it. So, Trell, we're going to finish up now with, it's going to be kind of like a game, but it's going to be called Shout Outs. So I want you to think about, you know, Black excellence mm-hmm. in this town. And I'm going to give you 10, I'm going to ask you for your best recommendations. Now, one of them I think has possibly already come up, so that'll be easy. And I want you to be able to give a shout out to Black-owned businesses. Might be Black-owned, it might just be the best place that you love right now that you can think of at the top of your head. Mm-hmm. And it's basically going to be shout outs. Think about a person that's perhaps visiting LA for the first time. Like the first time you came from South Carolina over to LA, the places that you would have wanted known about right off the bat.
Oh, sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Okay.
This will be fine.
The hottest stuff in town.
Okay.
From Terrell Thomas. Best clothing store.
Best clothing store in LA. I thought this would be easier. You know, I really like Zara.
Yep.
I really like Zara.
Why so?
I like Zara because it's easy. I don't have to overcommit. Because like I said, I'm in the style, but not necessarily fashion. So I don't want to pay $2,000 for a jacket.
Yep.
When I can get like, you know, like a version of it from Zara. And then I don't have to commit to it for 5 years. Like, okay, I only paid X amount of money for this. So I'm cool if I only wear it twice.
I'm with you. I bought a couple dresses from there last year. I was like, easy, let's go. Okay. We're going to try and make these quick fire, if possible.
Okay.
But don't worry. Best album out right now.
Best album, Cabo Carter.
Yeehaw!
Yeah, Cabo Carter. Like, I have Yaya and 16 Carriages on, like, a loop in my mind.
16 Carriages.
Come on.
Honestly, in the gym, this is literally how it goes down. If we're not downstairs line dancing, then it's not a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday.
What are you doing?
Best coffee shop in LA.
Best coffee shop in LA?
Hilltop.
I love Hilltop.
Wicked events as well.
Yeah. Shout out to Issa Rae. Shout out to my fraternity brothers who are like co-owners of it. It's very special. And the food is also good.
Okay, check out Hilltop, everyone. Best burger joint.
So I'm vegetarian.
Oh!
So
best veggie burger.
Best veggie burger that I've had has to have come from, there's this place called Sun Cafe. It is in Burbank.
Okay.
Really good. It's vegan. Perfect. But they have an amazing like quinoa black bean burger.
Shout out to our vegans. Best club, nightclub. Not that I've been to one in a while, but best nightclub.
Best nightclub? I don't even
What was the last one you went to?
I haven't been to a nightclub.
You know, the last
one
I went to was Hyde.
Oh, right. Like, you know, in Hollywood. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Wait.
There's one called like the Queensberry or something like that. I went to like an album release there, but I thought it was so cool. It has like disco balls all over the ceiling. It's in downtown.
Okay, good. Best market.
What is that? The Hollywood? What is the one that's right here?
Here?
Yeah,
I feel like that's a kind of lazy choice.
You don't like that one?
What about the one at Dodger Stadium? That big flea market. Dodger Stadium, once a month.
How about Melrose Trading Post?
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, or Black Flea.
There we go.
Black Flea is really cool, too.
I love it. Best place to walk?
Best place to walk?
This could be one of your hikes.
Yeah. I like Point Doom.
Mm.
It's so beautiful. It's so soothing. Yeah, Point Doom is a great place to walk.
Oh, I love that. Best flower shop.
Best flower shop. You know, I just got put onto the flower market. It's not necessarily a flower shop,
yep.
But it's downtown LA. It's in like the Santee Alley kind of area. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool. And I got some of the best plants. And I don't know. I'm not going to say it's the shop. Maybe it's just where I am. But they're growing now. Like, I've got a green thumb now. And I have to say, like, all the plants that are really growing and thriving, I got from...
I'm sending my plants over for you because they are not doing good.
I'm great now.
Best photographer.
Best photographer, hands down. Between Kai Bird and Christopher McCormick, those are my photographers, like, go-to. I use them for everything. The editing is top tier. They know lighting. I love them.
Love it. And then best attraction in L.A.?
Best attraction in L.A.? Ooh, that's a tough one. I would say I like City Walk a lot. I like Universal area. I enjoy it.
It's fun. I took my niece there. She loved it. She thought it was a wicked night out. And we went to watch the Barbie movie for like the third time.
Oh, yeah?
It was nuts.
Yeah, I enjoy City Walk.
I love it.
Yeah.
Trell, thank you so much for
staying
with us.
Thank you for having me.
One final question.
What's up?
What are you proud of? Oh,
I am proud of my ability to remain authentic in a world, and specifically in a place like, you know, Hollywood, LA, that will often try to tell you that you're not good enough. That what you are is not necessarily it. You should be more this or more that. I'm proud that every day I feel like I become more me. So the, you know, people always talk about like the, like becoming something. I'm proud of the unbecoming that I've had to go through to show up authentically.
I love that.
Yeah.
Trell, thank you so much for slaying with us. You are a G. Continue to shine. We love
you. Oh my God. Thank you. Anytime.
In summary, I remember a quote once that said, there's virtue in work and there's virtue in rest. Use both and overlook neither. That concludes this episode of Slay. Stay tuned for more empowering discussions on female health, fitness, and life. You can follow me at Louise Hazel on social media, and you can follow Trell at Trell World. Check out the Slay brand at Slay Athletic, and don't forget to subscribe to the Slay podcast if you haven't done so already on Spotify, and leave us a review. And you can also get all of the tools and resources that we talk about on our podcast in the Slay app. You can download it now for free from the App Store and join our online community.